Welcome to the Becoming Eva podcast, where we discuss real life issues from a woman's perspective.
Becoming Eva seeks to break the silence within the female community while fostering authenticity, transparency, and healing.
We're your hosts, LaToya Moore
and Maya Dawson.
Let's get started. Happy Saturday!
Hey, we back. We have a guest. Okay, before we get into introductions, how you ladies doing?
We're doing great.
I love it. I am doing great as well. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yes. It's a beautiful day. Yes. So we're excited to be here, BE community. We hope you are doing great as well. And if not, we pray you will be by the end of this episode. Okay. So without further ado, we're going to go ahead and introduce our amazing guest for today, the amazing Coach Amy Pete. Give it up. So let me read her bio and then we'll talk a little bit about how our paths crossed. Okay. So Coach Amy P is the proud mom of three boys, ages 17, 12, and 11. Mm-hmm. She's also the wife to worship leader, Atlanta Braves and Atlanta Falcons breakdancer. Come on now. Demetrius. What's that?
Designed by God.
McIntosh. All right. And founder and CEO of a 501c3 nonprofit, Live to Create Foundation Network. Okay. And also APM Learning and Design LLC. Looks like a power couple here. We got a lot going on. I love it. So with over 15 years of corporate instructional design and entrepreneurial experience, she uses her expertise to coach new and aspiring entrepreneurs to launch their products and services from scratch so that they can transition from their 9 to 5. Amen. With confidence. Okay. Amy believes having a secure foundation is key to withstanding any business infrastructure or facing any challenge in life. Her foundational values of faith, family, and freedom guide her decision making and has brought her peace, security, and career success. In her spare time, she mentors students who are having a rough transition to adulthood by allowing them a safe space in her home. Wow. To develop themselves and get off the ground to personal success. That's more than mentoring. That sounds like a whole lot. Pretty much. So, give it up for the amazing speaker and coach and consultant, Coach Amy P.
Woo-woo! Thank you.
Yes. Woo-hoo. Excited to have you.
Yes. I'm excited to be here. Wow.
We're excited. It's going to be a good one, y'all. So we got to talk about how our paths cross. So let's talk a little bit about what had happened with. Okay, so y'all may know a few weeks ago, Becoming Eva had the opportunity to host the amazing Faith and Flow Women's Conference, and we got to meet some amazing women along the way. Okay, hopefully you got to see some of the glimpses that we shared, some of the clips and snippets from it. But during the planning process, we were introduced to this woman here. And so, I'm just going to say out the gate, she had it together. She was the one. Were you the one who sent like the flow and the, like, she was like, okay, we're going to do this. We're going to do that. We're going to do this. Like, she had it on lock. So yeah, that was my experience with Coach Amy P. What about you?
And then I had an opportunity to go to City Takers service Sunday.
Oh.
And some of my kids also joined her.
Oh.
And one of my daughters, I won't say her name.
She struggles
with anxiety, meeting new people, and just being in environments that are new.
Yeah.
And I believe you were leading her class.
Aww.
And she was like, she'll be all right. I got her. So she ended up having a good time. Yeah. And I appreciate how Amy calmed her down and made her feel comfortable. So
yes, awesome.
So dope. So yeah, that was the glimpse that we got. But from that glimpse alone, we were like, oh, we gotta have a home. So thank you for responding to our gracious.
Thank you for inviting me. I'm happy to be here.
Hey, man.
Yeah.
All right. So let's get into your origin story. Mm-hmm. You want to kick us off, Toya?
Yes. Can you just tell the audience about a little bit about where you're from and your family and what it was like growing up?
Yeah, well, I'm originally from South Carolina, believe it or not. Good old country girl. Grew up in the backwoods of Jenkinsville, South Carolina. Jenkins. You will not know where it is. Don't look for it. It's right outside of Columbia, which is kind of Midlands area of South Carolina. USC, go Gamecocks, you know. But grew up in a small town. Believe it or not, I have entrepreneurial parents. They kind of bounce back and forth with jobs and things like that. But grew up with entrepreneurial type parents. And so my life was very simple. I didn't know, you know, all of the things that's happening right now in Atlanta was nothing compared to what my small life was in South Carolina. But I always had like this desire to move to the big city. And for me, Atlanta was a big city. Atlanta was the city, New York, you know, LA, you just give me any city. I wanted to get to the city because I was a dreamer. So, you know, I was always looking for something, that next big thing to where I could say, man, I just want to do something with the world. I want to do something in the world. I want to make an impact. And so that I've been that way since I was a kid. And, you know, I've been in Atlanta for about 8 years now. And so what led me here was just my creative track, you know, my entire background exists of the arts. So I wanted to be an artist as a little kid. That led me to school. I've gone to art school. I've done all the stuff in school. But Atlanta was always on my mind. Like, you know, I wanted to go to a city that was thriving, where entrepreneurs were thriving. And I found myself here, me and my husband. We were like, we need to move somewhere where business is like your creative outlet. There was a possibility for you, right? To kind of establish yourself and to really do what God really called us to do. We had to find what that was. Yeah. And so we moved to Atlanta. And so we're here. That's how I got here.
I was going to say, but I have a couple of questions and interject.
Yes.
So your parents, you said, were entrepreneurs.
What did your parents do?
Oh my God. I was just talking with somebody today about like how it seems like growing up in the South, people were more entrepreneurial.
Yes.
In some cases, because they had to be. What did your parents do, or what did they do?
Yeah, my parents, my dad is deceased, but my mom is still living. Both of them, actually, my dad was a DJ. So he owned a nightclub.
Come on, daddy.
He owned a nightclub, you know, so they owned a nightclub, but it was a store during the day.
Yes.
And so, at night, we were the neighborhood party, neighborhood club.
Perfect.
Everybody was always from the neighborhood would be at my daddy's club. And then plus he was the one that would DJ all the parties, weddings, parties. It didn't matter. He was the one that was doing it on the radio. He did all of that. And during the day, you know, it was kind of like a little store where we would make plates and we would sell things out of the store. So as soon as I got off the bus, I was in the store. Like we were working in the store doing things. And we even worked in that club, believe it or not. Don't try to tell nobody. That's what we were doing. You know, when you're in a small town like that, everybody is doing something on the side. Like you don't just work a job. And especially with my neighborhood, there were only factory jobs because you're so deep in the country. Most people worked like at one of the factories. Yeah. And so we actually, the neighborhood that I grew up in, there was a nuclear plant that was the center of that neighborhood. I literally lived on the street with the nuclear plant. Wow. So I was, you know, so if you didn't work at that nuclear plant, you had to do something else. And so, my parents, that's what they did. In addition to working at another plant, sometimes they would go back and forth. But my dad did that until he passed away. I mean, he did that on top of running a like a construction business.
So
he was kind of like, I guess, a brick mason. So they did underpinning and things like that for businesses. But those were my parents. And so I've seen it from the beginning.
Yeah. DJs are near and dear to my heart.
I love some DJs. Oh, yes. So, that's right.
Okay. And then what kind of art? You said you are an artist.
I am an artist. So I am an artist.
How would you describe your art? Is it visual? Is it performing? Is it all of the above? Is it interdisciplinary?
Interdisciplinary, my friend. I love it. I mean, I went to school for studio art. So I was I was thinking about teaching art. So painting, drawing, sculpting, all of the fine arts is what I studied, have a degree in. But, you know, I really had my specialty is graphic design. So when I was in school, I gravitated more to like anything digital. So it was graphic design, it was website design, logo development, things like that. And I actually we had trade school in high school. I don't know what it's called now. They have different names for the schools now, but it was called trade school when I was in high school. And so I studied graphic design during that time and actually started my first business when I was in high school working at a t-shirt press. I kind of started my business on the side next to this guy while he was teaching me the trade of like printing.
Yeah.
I started a business, a flyer business. It just made sense because my dad was doing parties. Everybody needed a flyer. It was like, I became the flyer girl.
Okay.
So I started doing flyers for everybody's party all the way up to college doing, you know, parties for flyers for parties and things like that in school. But yeah, I just kind of, you know, I've always wanted to be some type of painter. Like mm-hmm. I've always been inspired by Walt Disney. And so my goal was when I grow up, I'm going to work for Walt Disney. Yeah. And and so that led me to art school, got my degree in art. And but I transitioned once I kind of found my corporate job, the visual arts kind of it just kind of dwindled. I kind of I was like, well,
corporate,
I guess I'm not painting anymore, you know. But yeah,
you still got it.
I still got a little something in me, you know.
So I know you were like, okay, I'm trying to get out of the small town into the big
city. Oh my gosh, yes.
But you've been in Atlanta now for 8 years. So were there pit stops along the way South Carolina and Atlanta? Or
so, yeah, I will say college actually exposed me to a lot. So I did go to, actually went to Claflin University for 4 years. HBCU, let's go.
Yes.
But I actually graduated from South Carolina State.
Okay.
So I don't claim them Panthers though. I transferred my senior year, believe it or not, just so I could graduate on time. But when I was in college, my goal was still to work for Disney. And so I actually got a chance to do an internship at Disney.
Amazing.
And, you know, I stayed in Florida a little bit and worked at Disney in the Animation Academy as an animator.
Yeah.
So I was kind of on that track to becoming a cartoonist, you know. Mm-hmm. And from there, I started grad school. Once I graduated, I did go to grad school to study marketing, advertising and marketing. Mm-hmm. Because, again, like I picked up graphic design.
Yeah.
And so my next step was like, I need to find a job. Like, how am I going to find a corporate? I need some type of job. I need income. And so I decided to get my master's in advertising.
Yeah.
And when I was in grad school, I actually had an opportunity to travel abroad.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was able to study like art history and things like that over in Europe.
Ooh.
For a little bit. It was phenomenal. But that's when things started to really shift for me because I was like, the world is big. Mm-hmm. Like what I thought, my small mind, mm-hmm. my small town mindset, that country, it blew my mind. It's like, okay, there's a lot more to the world than what I'm used to. And so I got excited. I was like, whatever I want to do, I'm just going to do, because that was like the beginning of like, okay, whatever God has for you, you're going for it. Like, just go.
Yes.
You just go, you know. Yeah. And so, yeah, made stops. But in terms of living, I've never lived any other place outside of South Carolina. So Atlanta feels like home, very similar to South Carolina, except Atlanta is its own thing.
Welcome.
But Georgia
is
just like South Carolina.
Yeah, you're right. I was just telling
feels
somebody
the same.
That. Atlanta's Atlanta.
Atlanta
but
is its own
step
thing.
Step outside of Atlanta, you like, you in the South.
Yes.
Right.
The South.
Yeah.
So, thank you for entertaining my interjection.
But you know.
Carry on. Carry on.
So you tell us a little bit about how God was leading and guiding you.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell us a little bit about when you really felt that you really developed your personal relationship with God and could really discern his voice?
Yeah.
And listen to his guidance guide you on the path of
truth. Yeah, I think, you know, man, that's a really good question because I grew up in church. And so, you know, of course, if you're a Southerner, you probably have stopped at a church or probably grew up in the church.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up in the church, but for my personal relationship, it wasn't until when I was in college, like pretty much post-college.
No.
Just typical, you know, typical young adult teenager facing all the challenges of life, looking for love in all the wrong places, as they say. That really is my story. So I was bouncing back and forth looking for something that I just couldn't find. And it wasn't until I met my husband, actually. When I met him, I had just kind of went through a whole bunch of stuff in life, which we probably don't have time to even touch in this interview. That's a part two. But I had faced a lot of things when I met him. And he was a good old church boy. He's going to be mad at me for saying this. But he really was different from every guy I had dated. And it was through him. We kind of, his manager at the time, my husband was pursuing like R&B at the time.
Okay.
Yeah, he a worship leader now.
Hey,
praise the Lord.
Lord now.
Okay.
He say, this is BC days we're talking about. Don't y'all go out there saying, Amy, Amy grew up in the club. I did, but this is before Christ, guys. Before Christ.
All right. Y'all got to test
BC days. But no, like through his manager actually, we had been dating a while. And his manager, Demetrius, was thinking about becoming like doing R&B for the Lord at the time. And his manager was like, hey, you know, have you ever thought about like marrying your girlfriend or whatever? And so he sat us down this one time, had a very simple conversation with us. I mean, it was like, this was the first time I heard the gospel plain. Like it was plain to me. And it was because he just didn't have any judgment. It was so simple. He was like, Jesus, just do you know that God loves you? And I don't know if I had ever heard that before, which is crazy because I grew up in church and it was very traditional. I'm not going to bash my church. I learned a lot. Like I had, my foundation is from my home church, Sunday school, the Bible studies, the usher board. I did all of that. But I had never heard the gospel so plain when he said it the way that him and his wife at the time. And I was hurting. Like I was in a place where I was getting ready to, it was going to be bad if Jesus didn't show up. And it really was so simple. And that's what I needed to hear at the time. And I think that Jesus just, he loves you and there's nothing you can do. It was something like, he was like, there's nothing you can do to make him love you less. You know, like he loves you. And it was so clear to me. And it was from that point on where I was like, God, I don't care what it is, but I will live my life for you. It was just like, I don't care about nothing else. If I can just be my authentic self and you love me like this, then man, what a good God you are. And that started my relationship with God. And, you know, from then on, of course, you know, we've grown, but that was the beginning. I was like, I just want to serve the Lord. And I think he took us to church. It was my first time being introduced to a non-denominational church. Mm-hmm. Had no idea people was out here waving flags and doing all this stuff. I was like, man, they're so free. I was like, why are they so free? Like, I had never seen that. Because, I mean, you know, my church environment was very traditional. And I had to be a certain way, show up a certain way. And these people just were so free. And they were so loving. And everybody was hugging me. And I was like, I had never experienced that. And it was just through that experience that I was like, man, God is like, he really is real. Yeah. Like, I can feel him. And, you know, the rest is history. I mean, we started serving. We were in every ministry. I mean, at that church from 7 to 7 with our kids. We were on the choir. We did everything. I mean, the same thing I was already doing at my home church. But it was just, it was almost like a light bulb literally came on. Like, you know how some people say when God calls them, it was like a light. It was literally like that for me. I knew he changed me in a moment. Like, I was like, I'm changed. And I it was like my eyes were open and I was different, and everything that I used to do, I no longer had the desire for. And so I just kind of from there that started my journey of like faith and really pursuing God and all that he wanted and he had. And I was like, man, I just want to serve you, whatever that looks like.
Beautiful. Yeah. That's the power of a personal relationship.
It was
because we talk to people all the time where it's like, okay, you grew up in church, or, you know, you were raised with Christian principles and Christian value, but at the same time, when did you personally make the decision? There's no judgment, but at the same time, we don't want to assume either, because like you said, you grew up in the church, you knew all the things, you did all the things, but still it was in that moment where it was like a light bulb went off and it was like, okay, this is real. God loves me. That's awesome.
It was so personal.
I definitely grew up very similar, Pentecostal church, very, very traditional. And then when I came here to Atlanta and started exploring and visiting other churches, it just kind of opened your mind up into not being so boxed into like a name of a religion or, denomination. But I like the non-denominational church that I attend, because I definitely had the same kind of experience where I felt like free to be myself without feeling like I was being judged by what I look like, my makeup, or my dress not being long enough and not wearing jewelry. Like, I just felt free to be myself and still love Jesus without feeling like I had to yeah, I won't say put on a mask, but yeah, kind of put on a mask.
Yeah.
It's so important to, mm-hmm. to develop that personal relationship.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. Wow. Yeah.
All right. Well, let's dive on into becoming Coach Amy P. Yeah. Okay. So can you talk to us, like, what led you to start your own small business?
Well, I think the entrepreneurship part was just in me, yes. first and foremost. I knew from the beginning I need to do something for myself. I didn't know what it was going to be. Mm-hmm. But like I said, you know, I started that first business. Mm-hmm. in high school, and that kind of, you know, it did some things for me. But once I had my first son, mm-hmm. I was like, this is not enough money. I need to figure out how we gonna make it out mm-hmm. here in this. mm-hmm. And so I did work my corporate job. I worked a job when I landed my first job. I kind of bounced mm-hmm. back and forth in that, in the learning and development space for about 15 years. But when I was on the job, which I loved my job and I had great experiences, there was always a lack of, see how I'm put this, diversity in the spaces yeah. where I was. Okay. And like, I just, that it did something to my heart. Mm-hmm. I found myself in circles and rooms. I was the only one. Mm-hmm. I didn't like the weight. And then the weight of being the only one, that weight, you carry that weight across the company.
Absolutely.
They expect you to show up and be like, and represent the whole culture. And I'm like, bro, I don't know what they would do. I really don't. Like, this is what I'm just trying to work. I'm just trying to be here. So like, I literally, like, I felt a responsibility, and I like to call it an ethical responsibility, to really not necessarily do it for the culture. You know, that's like, people say, I do it for the culture. It wasn't really like that. It was more so like, something is wrong with this. Like, this shouldn't be. And when I saw that, I was like, well, what can you do about it? How can you be the change that you want to see? That's one of my favorite quotes, be the change you want to see in the world. And it's still that same little inkling that I had as a kid. Like, I want to do something. I don't like the way this community is. Yeah. Even my own community, I didn't like it. So I would always stand up against or stand up to something or someone. I would stand up for people. The littlest one in the room, you put somebody in front of me, watch what I would do. I will, like, I was always the one advocating for people. And so that, I feel like that was kind of a spiritual gift that God just kind of, he carried on into the next season of my life. And so when I was working a job, you know, people would always come to me. It's like, hey, Amy, like, what do you think I should do? Like, I was the coach. I literally became the coach in every environment I've been in. And I'm like, I really don't want to give you advice right now. I'm just trying to work. And I tried to, I really tried to kind of like run from that. I didn't want to do that. Yeah. I wanted to be an artist. Okay. I want to be a creative. I just want to do my stuff. But God, like, he said otherwise. He was like, no, you know, you really do have the gift of, I call it teaching. And, you know, I'm learning now, it's more on the pastoral types, spiritual gifts. Yeah. But it's like, man, I put you in places to shepherd people, to really give, you know, speak to people, to speak into them.
Yeah.
And so I started owning it. And, you know, I actually, when I transitioned off my job, it wasn't to do coaching at first. It was really to fill that gap of, I'm tired of seeing businesses struggle, particularly Black businesses struggle. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to do something about it. I wanted to kind of, you know, figure out how to like develop the skills, use my skills that I had developed on my corporate job. I want to bring that to smaller businesses because I love the small business. Yeah. I love the entrepreneur. It's in me. It's what I've always seen. And so I'm like, man, if they would just do this, it would really work for them. Or if they would just learn how to do this before they talk about skills, it would really just, or maybe if you just do this with branding, because, you know, again, my background is all these things. Yeah. And I'm like, if you would just refine this, I'm telling you, you know. And so I found myself just naturally coaching. First, I was a mentor, just mentoring people for free. Like, I would just give advice to people for free. And it was when my coach actually said, hey, you are a coach. Do you know that? And I was like, yeah, but, you know, I enjoy coaching people, but I've never really thought about like making it a business or anything like that. She was like, I want you to take this program, go through the certification process. And when you're done with the certification, let me know. I did. I went through a certification through the Coactive Training Institute. Mm-hmm. So I'm a certified coach in what they call the coactive method.
Oh.
And you stand next to people. You walk along with people on their journey. So you just teach people how to be instead of do. Mm-hmm. And it was one of the things naturally I was like, man, I align so much to this because I didn't want to focus more on the doing. I just wanted people to know that You have everything you need. God has created you to do something. So what is that? Let's focus on your being.
Yeah.
And yeah. And so from there, I added coaching to my service, my other services that I offer. And I've been coaching ever since. And so, yeah.
Amazing. Mm-hmm. Now, I was going to say, you, I mean, being raised by entrepreneurs, having your own business in high school, you've seen the ins and outs of entrepreneurship.
Oh my
goodness. So, like, and you shared a little bit too about your own personal challenges. Mm-hmm. How did you go about overcoming them, you know? And what caused you to not shy away from entrepreneurship, knowing, you know, what you had experienced?
Yeah. I think, you know, I had to tell myself, like, man, I really want to know what happens if I do this. I've always, that feeling of like, but what happens if you do it? Like, it's so easy to quit. Like, it's so easy to give up. But it's like, but what happens if you actually do it, though?
Yeah.
What's really going to happen on the opposite side of that? That's my motivation. It's just like, I want to complete what I said I'm going to do, first of all. But what keeps me going is knowing I have to be flexible. Like, I'm not afraid to go get a job. I'm not afraid to say, you know what? I'm going to go back and get some up and do some upskilling. I'm going to go learn this skill because I need this skill. So I'm not afraid to adapt to whatever season I'm in at the time. And so God had to really, the way the Lord speak to me is through gardening. He's like, you are a gardener.
Aww.
And so maybe my season, I always have to assess myself every single, I do this every day, actually, like, or every month at least, like, what season am I in right now? Am I still in the planting season?
Wow.
Am I still in the watering season? Am I reaping now? You know, and I think in entrepreneurship, there's so many ups and downs. Man, there are good seasons where you're doing well, making a ton of money. And then there are the low seasons where you're like, I have no clients. Like, what am I doing? And the world of businesses, it changes. It's so rapid now. Like, you can hardly keep up with it. Things with technology and now AI, everybody's an expert. And so things just kind of like evolve so fast. I think one of the things that I said I was going to do was be authentic to myself. And I was going to always align with my personal value of faith. And it's like, God, is this what you want me to do right now?
That's good.
And when he said yes, I go. When he said, Amy, I need you to focus up. You need to rest. I rest. And I've always been that way. And so I think that's what has helped me during those down seasons is like leaning on my faith more. But then too, just staying flexible.
Yeah.
You know, knowing that everything you see online is not always, everything you see is not always true.
Facts. Come on.
And then too, like, you really have to know where you're going. So I believe in a really good plan. I believe in setting my targets and saying, okay, if I'm going to do this by this day, at least I have something that I'm walking towards. It's not like I'm walking blind.
Yeah.
And that's always kept me on track. It's like, what are you supposed to be doing right now?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, are you growing your following? Okay, great. That's what you focus on. Are you developing a program? That's what you focus on until you launch it.
Mm-hmm.
I think if people are like me, which most entrepreneurs are like this, hyper creative, there's always a new idea that pops into your head. And it's like, oh, well, I can start this. And then I'm going to start this. But really focusing, being very simple and focusing on the one thing really helps you go far.
Perfect.
In entrepreneurship, you know. And it keeps you grounded.
Wow, lots of nuggets.
I mean,
lots of nuggets.
From the gardening season.
Listen.
And making sure you know what season you're in. Am I planting? Am I watering? Am I reaping a harvest? So many words of wisdom.
And something to add to the gardening, I have to throw this in here because this is a lesson I had to learn. My coach. She's my mentor. She don't know she's my mentor.
Okay.
But I do, well, she do know, but I call her a lot for advice and on the nonprofit side when I'm managing my nonprofit. But one of the things she told me one time, she said, Amy, because she know the Lord speak to me as a gardener. Yeah. She's like, you keep eating your seed.
Uh-oh. Mm-hmm. Come on.
That thing, it was like it stabbed me. I was like, it spoke to me. She was like, you can't reap because you just eat your seed.
Mm.
You keep eating it. And it was like, I had a paradigm shift, you know, like it was another waking moment.
Yeah.
I was like, I am eating my seed. I literally am doing that. And I had to learn how to like pay attention to the seasons. Like,
okay, so you gotta break it down.
Yes, please. I was imagining watermelon seeds. Like, what does she eat?
Some seeds are edible.
Tell us what it means for you to eat your seed and what you should do instead. What it looks like for you to plant your seed.
Yeah, I think when God gives you something, obviously we all have we have things that are God will put in us in terms of our purposes, what he wants us to do in the earth. But, you know, it's kind of like the parable of the talents. You know, you put that seed in the ground and then you don't even eating your seed as you take it out of the ground before it take root or before it's before you nurture it, before you water it, before you do all the things to make sure that that seed grows. You're so you want that instant result. So as soon as that thing sprouts, you may try to eat whatever is coming off of it. When we know, like with an apple tree, no one eats the first fruit. You don't eat the first fruit.
Yeah,
you pick it, you kind of pluck it so that it grows back more bountiful. Like you want more, you want the good fruit. And so it's the same concept of like taking that seed out of the ground too early or eating the fruit before it's actually ripe, things like that in terms of gardening. But that's how it spoke to me. I was like, man, I'm sitting here. As soon as I get a little bit, it's going back out. Like it won't stay in my hands. Like it's not, I'm not putting it back into my business. I'm not thinking about scaling, you know, how am I going to get to this next level? I'm eating it. Like I spend it. Like that's what I was doing at the time. I was just, as soon as it come in, it was going out.
Got it.
And the Lord, and literally that was Holy Spirit. It's like, you are eating the seed.
So invest back into your business.
All the things. I mean, invest into first and foremost what God is saying you need to do so that you reap the harvest. Is it, if it's the first fruit, like what am I supposed to do with this fruit? Do I cut it open and those, you know, like what am I supposed to do with this fruit?
Yeah.
Do I eat it? No. Or do I do something else with it? And I think that's, you have to really use discernment and actually seek wisdom around that first, whatever that is you're receiving from the business. Because a lot of people, they just, it goes out of their hands. Like they don't have time to build.
And I was thinking, I do have a little garden.
Oh, I love gardens.
And I have been struggling to remember to water it.
You got to water it.
You got to water it.
And it's sunlight.
Sometimes I'll let a whole week pass. Before I
or the patience that comes with gardening. It's like sometimes you don't even see a sprout. You're like, this seed is not what's happening. So you'll take it out. Yeah, like a lot of people
it
do
took
that
forever for anything to start sprouting, and then like it just started sprouting.
Yeah.
It's like they are
need
there
to take root.
But I'm just thinking like you have to remember to water your seeds and things that you plant, and don't just like, you know, get busy with other things.
Yeah, in relation to watering too, I mean, that may look different to different people, but in my case, like people pouring back into me because I give so much out. Like I'm constantly giving.
Yeah.
Remember, I'm an advocate. I'm going to fight for you. What you need? You can have, I'll give you my last dollar. Like that's me, you know, and I don't, it's easy for me to give things away. I don't think about work. I just like, here, I'm generous. So that I'll just
so
give it to
good.
You. But you know, like it convicted me that, hey, even though God has instructed us to give, like he loves a cheerful giver, still and yet I'm not even thinking about my garden. Like, are you tending to the garden? You know, is it time to do that? You know, in the watering process, it's like someone that wisdom that comes back into your life to say, hey, this is what you should do. Or here's some guidance around this. So I need to go.
The gardening
metaphors. Yes.
Like, I'm digging those. That's dope.
It is my most favorite thing to talk about.
Okay. Well, you've already given us some negative nuggets of wisdom, but I'm thinking for the person that may be listening that is either an aspiring entrepreneur or a beginning entrepreneur, what would you say are like the top three things they should start on? Like, where should they start?
Yeah. Top three, I would definitely say start. Meaning, we're in our heads so much.
Right.
Oh my gosh.
Right.
It's like, well, this idea I have, the, you know, it's trying to refine the idea. And maybe I'm speaking to myself because I'm branding now, you know, I like things to look a certain way, to feel a certain way. It's all about the experience, which those things are important. But I think just taking up, gaining confidence to do the thing you said, like whatever that thing is, just decide that I am going to do this. So you have to first like really decide. That's my number one thing, is like, you're going to do it. And the second thing is like, you have to figure out what is, like define it. So like really come up with a plan, like write the vision, make it plain.
Yeah.
You really have to write your plan down and really know where you're going. Mm-hmm. I can't imagine like not setting a goal and just hopping off my job, you know, which I did take the leap. I'm not even gonna lie. I jumped off my job and started my thing, but that decision was a 15-year-old like I had been pondering, mm-hmm. I had been sitting on, and I had a business on the side that I had been managing for a long time. And I just gained the confidence when I took the lead. But, you know, like, you got to start, you got to decide to start. And yeah. then, so you need to figure out what is it that you're trying to start. And that's a lot of the, you know, the area that I like to, you know, stay in with my clients. It's like, hey, what's holding you back? Like, what is it like that's keeping you from really going after the thing that you really want to see? And a lot of times it's just mindset. We don't think that we can, we won't make money. You know, I'm afraid I'm not good enough, you know, looking at everybody else, the way other people are showing up in this space. It's like, I can never do that. But you're seeing the end. You're not seeing the beginning, which mm-hmm. nobody really talks about. It is not easy. it is very difficult. And you don't make money. It is, you know, and it's a struggle. And which is one of the reasons why I started coaching. It's like, man, people really need encouragement in the space. Yeah. Like, it is not easy to be an entrepreneur. And the only thing that's in your face is becoming a millionaire, making your first six figures, you know, all those things. And I was like, I had already kind of seen some of that in my corporate job. So I was like, well, I made really good money. So it's not about money for me. You know, it was more so about seeing people succeed at what God had called them to do. And I knew that people were asking me how to do it every day. So I was like, is this you, God? So I knew I needed to do something about it. But yeah, that's the second thing. And the third thing is probably if you are transitioning from a job, I always advise people to hang on to that job until they have established whatever that plan is. Gotcha. Like, use the job. I say this, you're probably going to hear me say this all the time, but use your job to develop the skills you need to manage your business. And so God, like, nothing, everything is, God's timing is perfect. Yeah. So it's like, don't jump off the job too soon. Mm-hmm. Don't leave these spaces too soon. It's mm-hmm. like, be patient with what God is developing on the job and everything. I can't, every role I've played, even when I was in a fast food job, I remember being, I went in every position. I never stayed in a position. I was always promoted because I was so eager to learn. Like I was just like, oh, well, let me do this. And it was that the positive attitude I had about just being able to make money, because that was a big deal for me in a small town. It's like, wow, I'm able to care for myself.
Yeah.
I wasn't able to do that, you know, and or I didn't see that around me. So taking every experience with you, it is necessary for your for managing a business. I don't care what it is.
Yeah.
Customer service, selling a hamburger. It's just quality. Like all the there are so many skills that you can learn on every single job. It doesn't matter what the job is. You're going to need those skills in entrepreneurship. Mm-hmm. And people just jump. They try to move too fast.
Yeah.
And then they get out there and they realize the real world is different from corporate or is different from the job that they were on. Mm-hmm. It's not the same. And they have no skills and they can't survive because they don't know how to like manage business how to do anything.
I'm about to use your job, y'all, because here's the reality.
The job is using you. They make money off you.
So while you're working it, you may as well use your job.
I'm gonna need you to get the skills.
Yes.
Raise your hand.
Get your skills and be strategic about what skills you want. Because most of these jobs will pay for you to get the skills that you want.
Yeah. Ask those questions.
You to get the education ask that you want. Like, use your jobs while you're working your jobs.
So true,
that's
man.
So good.
It's so true. I learned so much from, and what's interesting about when I made the transition from my job, I really wasn't, well, I will say, I was planning to transition. I had been planning to transition for a while, but Holy Spirit told me that that job, my job was going to go away. Mm. And it was right before the pandemic, actually. I didn't know what was happening, but, I felt called. God was calling me, one, to ministry. And then two, he was like, you're going to have to be flexible here. Mm-hmm. The job won't allow the flexibility that you're going to need to do what I'm asking you to do. Mm-hmm. And so I kind of already knew that because I was in ministry, doing ministry and things like that at church. And I had the urge to leave, but I was like, but I like my job. You know, I really like my job. I was on my way to promotion. Like I knew I would have been promoted in the position I was in. But there was a lot of stuff going on in my job. And I heard God say, you know, it's time to leave. Wow. Like, you need to leave. You're not going to have this job long. And literally when I decided, I put my 2 weeks notice and I had kind of prayed about it. I sought counsel and all this stuff. When I decided to leave that job, that whole department was acquired by another. Well, the company was acquired by another company.
Wow.
And so they got rid of the training department.
Wow.
And I had no idea. I wouldn't have had a job. Yeah. Like, they probably would have moved me somewhere, but my job was gone. And I knew it was like that urge. It was almost like God kicked me off the cliff. It's like, you got to go. Like, boom, go. Now's the time. And that's how it happened for me. But when I was on that job, I mean, I was next to directors, VPs. I worked alongside all the people. And I was like, I just want to know how you do your business. It's just, can I go? Can I go to this meeting? I'll sit in. I'll volunteer. And I literally learned a lot of skill from just being in the room, just listening how they did business. And I was like, well, I would never do that. If I was the CEO, I would never talk to my people like that. It was cultural things, but also it was things of faith too, that I heard God saying, you know, like, my people are here and my people are in the marketplace too. And they need help. They need me. Yeah. So they need people like you showing up with me to be able to encourage them and motivate them that there's space for them in the marketplace. And so, yeah. Amen. Yeah.
Good stuff, y'all. Mm-hmm. So I hope you got those three tips, okay? If you didn't, you can rewind it and listen to it again. And we're going to share her information, especially for step number two, which was, like, make a plan.
Listen.
You need help making a plan.
So you can run with it. That's what the word says. Coach when Amy you start P, running.
Yes. She the one for you.
Yeah.
So last thing we want to ask before we go into Noble Character is, like, what's next for you? Like, you got your hands on a lot of different things. You've been working on a lot of things. You've had a lot of successes. Like, what's next for you?
Yeah, for me, if we're thinking seasons, I think the season I'm in right now, God has really been building me up. Mm. So I've been, like, really securing my foundation. I have an agency, but I don't have a team.
Okay.
And so I have been really getting my foundation strong so that I can start to hire a team. And I want to scale. Like, I really want to be able to serve the smaller small business at large. Mm-hmm. And so I can't do it without a team.
Yeah.
I can't do it by myself. And so that's what's next for me, is really trying to stand up the agency with a team so that we can handle larger projects. And then for my nonprofit, you know, like, we're really, I probably should save this little nugget. It's good stuff. But the plan is to open a Institute of the Arts, School of the Arts, hopefully here in Atlanta. But, you know, we're going to see what God wants. But also building the foundation for that, too. Just I'm like in a season where God is like, he's watering me. And so I'm just trying to figure out what's next in terms of like that business. But yeah, that's where he has me, is just trying to focus on the foundation so that I can take the next step in terms of scaling. That's what's next for the business.
Y'all heard it here first. I'm just saying.
Don't tell them. I'm just playing. Tell everybody.
Secret. You can tell everybody. All right.
Tell everybody. But yeah.
Very good. Mm-hmm. Very good. All right. Well, we're gonna transition into Noble Character.
Yes.
Noble Character is a segment that we like to usually give our guests an opportunity to recognize a woman in their community or out in the world that has inspired you or doing amazing things in the community to impact the world.
Yeah.
So we want to give you an opportunity to recognize a woman of noble character.
Yes. Well, the person that I'm thinking of is Pinky Cole. Which people do say I relate, you know, I kind of look like her a little bit. That favor a little bit, you know, Pinky, you cut all your hair off now. So I don't think so.
Oh my gosh,
it looks amazing. Okay. So I am a fan. Uh-huh. But yeah, Pinky, man, I had a chance to hear her last week. She was speaking at an event I was at, and I've run into her quite a bit. She don't know me. I've never went up to her, introduced myself or anything like that. But it's interesting. I keep running into her in these spaces. And I'm like, okay, Lord, what are you saying? But anyway, like, I'm just so inspired by her story, her personal story of doing something for the community.
Love it.
And it's like, when, you know, when I think about that question, I'm like, who's in my community right now that I know of that's really being a representation of that, they're being the change they want to see? And she was the first person that popped into my mind, like her really establishing something that, one, I mean, who would have thought veganism in the hood, you know? I think it's safe I can say the hood. I mean, you know, I love it though, but you know, in a culture, in a community like that, you would never think, you know, food scarcity, things like that, to bring a vegan restaurant. And it's so successful. Yeah. Like, so she was able to really do something that was unheard of. I mean, I'm pretty sure people have told her, you're crazy, don't do that. There are no vegans in that area, you know, like, So she's just that person I see. And I'm like, man, that's, I know what it's like to face adversity. And people are saying, don't do that. Yeah. Like, you shouldn't do that. It makes no sense. I heard that my entire life from wanting to be an artist. Like, why? You can't make money from being an artist. You know, and so she's that person, but also she's true to herself. She's very authentic, which I aspire to be that always. I want to show up as myself.
Yeah.
I do not want to be something that I'm not ever in a situation, no matter where I am. And Pinky is that. And then, you know, she's just like, I'm not going to reveal what she said last week because it's supposed to be a secret. But I mean, next level business type stuff, she's just there. Like, she's at that step where I'm like, wow, I aspire to kind of one day have this same story, you know, coming from a small town and inspiring people in my community. Like, wow, Amy can do it. And maybe I can do it too. You know, so yeah, I mean, give her flowers. She is awesome. Amazing. I love that hair. Y'all got to go check it out.
I'm about to check it out.
The hair is fire.
Okay.
Cut all the locks off.
Now, for those of you that may or may not know, Pinky Cole is founder of Slutty Vegan.
Yes.
She is basically a vegan franchise that has taken, honestly, it's taken the country
by storm. It's taken it by
storm. I mean, she started it here in Atlanta. There are multiple franchises here, but she's branched out into multiple cities now. It's amazing.
Love that girl, man.
Does she have a location in California now?
I think it's New York. I'm not sure of the other location, but I know in New York for sure.
Yeah, and she's, you know, doing business now. I think I actually just heard, what is his name? The girl's name. Rev Ron's daughter.
I know she's
not
doing
Vanessa. What's up? What's
yeah, I can't think for now.
I see her face like clear. It's that Angela Simmons. Thank you.
Yeah.
She's doing business with Angela Simmons. A lot of people, she's been on a lot of platforms, really just sharing the key to her success. Because like you said, I mean, like literally, who would have thought to open up vegan fast food franchises in the Black community? But honestly, a lot of Black people are really trying to be more intentional about their health. And the fact that this is great food, it tastes good, the environment is live, y'all.
Yeah, it is.
Ever gone? You're going to wait in line. But they're going to make it fun while you wait in line, you know.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not going to lie. The menu titles, what kind of, how you tilt
your
head.
They're a little slutty.
Yeah. My husband was like, he was like, this is not family friendly. Like, we read the titles.
The kids
trying
to order. He's like, you better not say that.
You're like,
We're going to get the number
don't
four.
Don't let your children order. Don't let your children order.
We're getting the number four.
Suspect, but the food is really good.
Yeah,
really, really good. She just started breakfast. I haven't had her breakfast yet.
I have not had her breakfast, but
constantly growing and evolving. So, Pinky Cole, you are a woman of noble character.
Yes, honey.
We would love to have you on the show too. Please. So, if you hear this and you know come through, we're gonna tag you. We would love to have you on Becoming Amber. So, yes, congratulations.
Congratulations. Yeah,
good stuff.
Yes, and don't forget to get your merch.
Yeah,
your water bottles, mugs, coats,
shirts,
jackets, all the things on our website at becomingevatoday.com to support us.
Yes.
And don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Follow us, like us, subscribe.
Yes, all the things.
We have your website too. Can we?
Yes. I've been sharing it, but
CoachAmyP.com.
Perfect.
On all platforms, including my website.
Perfect. All right. So, you got anything else for you? Perfect. Well, y'all, we're going to continue on this journey of becoming. We've got some amazing guests that are lined up. And so, we will see you soon.
Awesome.
Bye.
Bye.
Yay!
Don't forget to like us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Click subscribe on YouTube and subscribe to the podcast.
Check us out at becomingevatoday.com
or email us at becomingevatoday.com.
See you next time!